Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Otto Loos.
Still here, John.
And we had a wonderful interview with Lydia Bastianich, who is, you know, literally a world-famous cook, restaurateur, the owner of Eataly, and a TV personality, and an author. So, and a caring daughter. So, which is a mother's 97, and she's living with the mother and taking care of a mother, which is just wonderful.
I'm always amazed by people who do all the things she does with the time that we all have allotted to ourselves. You know, somebody has to sleep once in a while.
Right, I agree with you, 100%.
You know, and you really, as she said, you have to be passionate and dedicated to doing what you do.
Right. Now, another person who helps people take care of their parents is Ann Margaret Carrozza, who's an elder law attorney, has been on the show before, and does a lot of different things throughout the town of North Hempstead, has been involved with me in Project Safe, does panel discussions, and also, which I want to start with Ann Margaret to talk about, she has an affiliation now with the Dr. Phil Show.
Yes.
Which is very significant, and also an author. We'll get to the book also, but start with the Dr. Phil first.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me
back.
You're
very welcome.
It's terrific. I am a TV legal contributor to the Dr. Phil Show. So, as we know, Dr. Phil gets into family drama, but increasingly, he's focusing on the intersection of family dynamics and finances, whether that is a will contest or a bitter breakup, divorce, and how we can take steps to protect our property, which is really my central message. You know, I think what I do builds on the personal finance revolution of the past 15 years. Dave Ramsey, Susie Orman, that's all great. But at the end of the day, what the heck does it matter whether my rate of return is 3, 4, or 5% if I have a 43% chance of losing it in a divorce or long-term care expenses or taxes that we could have avoided? So that's really my message, asset protection.
And that's the most important one. It really is. And I agree with you. And I say that to people all the time. You have families fighting that you should be buying this for mommy, which is a 5% versus a 4, but everything's in her name.
Exactly.
And there's nothing been planned for. And what I say is no choice is a choice. So if you choose not to do anything, that's an actual choice. So that the money goes down the drain if mom gets sick and has to go into a home, and that's the end of it.
You're exactly right. And I think sometimes people make the mistake that, oh, they'll deal with it tomorrow, or they'll deal with it next month, or they want to keep things simple, and they don't want to go through the process of educating themselves.
Perfect. Okay.
Well, you know, you said asset protection with family harmony, I think, is a real challenge.
Yes.
I've been the executor of a few wills, and all of them turned out to not be such a pleasant experience because of family disputes and the fact that nobody talked before. You know, there was no open communication about what might be. You know, people like to put their head in the sand, and facts are that's not the way to handle it.
Yeah, and I think it comes as a surprise to many people that a will has to go through an estate administration supervised by the court that's known as probate. So people think, I did a will, shouldn't it just be automatically effectuating? And it's not. So one of the big problems that we see, and one of the messages that I try to get out there, is, as you said, Otto, communicate things in advance, because there will be differing recollections and differing expectations after we die. If we make a loan to a child for $100,000 for a down payment on a house, you better believe that her siblings are going to think that should be deducted from her share of the inheritance. And if we're not crystal clear within the estate planning documents, we're setting our children and loved ones up to butt heads.
Right.
Yeah, one of the scenarios I've seen happen live and end up the wrong way a couple of times is where one sibling has mom and dad living with them in the house, and then mom dies, and then eventually dad dies, and now the sibling is in the house, and the other three siblings think they ought to get a piece of the action, and the will was not very specific about how that should be handled. What kind of options do you think people have in that kind of scenario?
Well, I don't know if you read the book. If not, I'll get you a copy.
I did.
But in Love and Money, I tell that exact story.
Okay.
I've had a number of families go through this. And if there is an adult child who moves back home to help a parent or parents, sometimes it's because the child lost their job and it's really the parents providing economic help to the adult child. And sometimes the adult child is providing hands-on care for the parents. And there's an expectation on the part of that child that the house will go to them, or at the very least, we need to address within the estate planning that they have X amount of time to remain in the house, or the other kids are going to be there with an eviction notice wanting to list the house. So we need to think about all of these things.
Yeah, to me, that's one of the more complicated ones that I've been involved with. And I'll do have to get your book.
You know what it is, and I've said this too comically, but you know, so many people after they die, if you could come back about 6 months later just for a day and realize the mess you left behind, unintentional.
Unintentional.
Absolutely. And nobody wants their kids to be fighting. And I tell the story, and you've probably heard it, where it was a friend of mine, a very, very, very wealthy family. Everybody got left a fortune. And how the furniture was being divided up, there was five or six of them. They went into the bowl, and everybody picked a number, and then you went through the house, and you picked something, and then you did it again. Most of them haven't spoken since.
Oh.
Because the first one picked something that the second one said, you know, I always wanted that. And then it went on. It just got worse. And it's like, they all got millions of dollars.
Well, John, my first litigated case, this is a true story. Two sisters fighting over a vacuum cleaner because the will was not clear about who was getting personal property, and they went to court over a vacuum cleaner.
Obvious, yeah. See, those are the things, and then maybe not always, but it usually stems from it's not a tight family in the first place, because
right.
Who the hell wants the vacuum cleaner? You can have it. It's
exactly.
Not worth fighting over.
Exactly.
And even if it was a fancy diamond ring or something, you say, listen, it's worth $100,000. You have it. Give me $50,000.
Right.
Whatever. Who cares? But it's an issue. And
but that's easier said than done.
Because emotions are involved.
Right.
So these types of disputes are supercharged. And I'll never forget asking one client if she wanted to settle. And she said about her sister that she wanted to rip her leg from her ass. And that really conveyed the level of animus.
Right, right. Yeah, that's real. I see that.
When I was an executive for one of these wells, I was in the lawyer's office, two brothers. The estate was very small. And yet all of a sudden, I don't want to get too specific,
right.
But all of a sudden, the two brothers were ready to have a fist fight in a lawyer's office. And myself and a lawyer had to break them up. And they haven't really talked since.
Wow.
And that's a long time ago, 10 years.
Oh, yeah, no. And again, it's the emotion that comes into it. Because
absolutely.
Like Otto does this. Otto does a family sit down, which is it's very important so that everybody's on the same page.
We'll call
and
it
now's
pow-wow.
The time to speak.
Powwow.
Okay, the powwow. And, but it's important because everybody has to be on the same page.
Yeah, but.
And it's love. So you have to feel you were loved as equally as somebody else was loved. Otherwise, you're going for a fight.
But, you just said something I wrote down here, personal property. I don't know how real detailed I've gotten into the personal property
part. Oh, boy, we got a problem now.
Yeah. You know, I have six children, well, five now. There are emotional attachments to some parts of this personal property, I'm sure, that I'm really not too sure we covered in depth yet.
Yeah, you know what? That cuts both ways, though. You know, we want to avoid being incredibly specific within a will. You know, how far do you take it with figurines and bric-a-brac? I think it's important to have a group sit down and say, you know, how do you think we should all do this? Does this object have a certain meaning to you? Ideally, it's done informally. Because loading up the will or the trust with all of these objects can add to an estate tax base. So
ideally, you
want to handle these things informally.
My heartbreak with that was I have a relatively large antique clock collection. And so I said to my girls, I have three of them. I said, now, pick out which one you want. And from all three of them, I got the same answer.
Oh,
we don't
boy.
Want any of them.
Yeah, right.
Sell them to which you want. I'm like, I had little stickies ready. It's like, mark which one wants.
Yeah, right.
You know what? That's better than all of them wanting one.
No, I agree. I agree. It's like, dad, they're yours. Then we just empty this house out.
You know, you mentioned something on your website, which is excellent, by the way.
Thank you.
Maybe we ought to tell people what that website is.
MyElderLawAttorney.com.
Right. And it really, really is very, very good. I'm into that stuff. So.
Actually, do you want and give a phone number?
718-224-4746.
One of the questions you have on there about is whether a house should be put into a child's name to protect it. I hear people doing this all the time.
Well, that's probably the single biggest mistake out there.
That's why I'm bringing it up.
And you're better off doing nothing than, quote unquote, turning the house over to the kids, because they could be the nicest people in America, but they can't help the immediate tax consequences. First of all, the kids are going to take it with a carryover basis, meaning that mom and dad's purchase price from 1978 becomes their tax basis. They're going to be whacked in the head with capital gains later. Mom and dad will lose their star tax exemptions. And if one of the kids is in a divorce, we can say goodbye to part of the house if it's in a child's name. So never a good idea to do that. We only want to think about doing a properly drawn trust.
Okay. Now, one other one that comes up that I've gotten involved with is bank accounts. I've been told that if you, first of all, a lot of banks have a limit on how many beneficiaries you can put onto a bank account. Or in some cases, like a checking account, you can't put
right.
any beneficiaries on it. How do you protect bank accounts if you have four or five children? Do you try to go through the will with it, or do you...
You know what we're going to do?
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and touch trust and then the bank accounts. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.